You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble in the Dog Bowl. I misspoke prior to break, not after further review. Duh, it's the Friday forecast. We are not joined by the kid today. The kid and Nathan connection is what drives the kid into the studio, so he did not grace us with his presence today, but I will bring in our amazing producer, Casey Koulis, who will be reading us those Friday forecast questions.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, man?
All right, guys, question number one. What new acquisition for the Browns will have the biggest impact on the team in 2015?
See, I'm going to go first. I'm going to go with Tremont Williams because I think I would expect him at this point to be that starting DB. And we all remember with Joe Hayden on the opposite side of the field, we all know how much Buster Skrine got thrown at as that number two cornerback. And if Tremont Williams holds down that job all season, it fends off guys like Pierre Desir, Justin Gilbert, and shows that he still has a lot left in the tank. You're going to be seeing a lot of him, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how he handles his first year in a long time of guarding number two wide receivers and what he can do against them. I think he's poised to have a rebound year. I think he still was a pretty good cornerback last year, but definitely for the standards he set earlier in his career, not his best year, but I think he's poised to bounce back in that spot.
He was a close second for me, and I agree. I'm looking for him to ball guarding number two wide receivers, but I'm going to go with our most recent free agent acquisition, Dwayne Bowe. And I've been a fan of him since we first talked free agent wide receivers when Andre Johnson and Brandon Marshall and Jeremy Maclin were all either on the market or potentially on the market either for trade or to be released. And some of the things that I wrote, some quick notes that I wrote in here for my expectations of Dwayne Bowe in this offense is 60-plus receptions, 800-plus yards, and 6 TDs. And those 6 TDs would actually double Travis Benjamin's season Browns leading touchdown total of last year of 3. So Dwayne Bowe's going to be my guy.
Now that the team has picked up Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline, does that change the way you think the Browns should go into the draft when it comes to the first round?
It doesn't change mine, but I think it's changed most fans' perception. I was never of the mindset that the Browns had to get a wide receiver in the first round. I think so for me, it hasn't changed. I think as I've said earlier in the show, if one of those top three guys is available and Danny Shelton is not there at number 12, I would probably go with one of those wide receivers. Cause I still think you brought in some key pieces with Hartline and Bowe, but you can always get more talent and maybe even a little younger at the position, get a guy in for the future. But again, I wasn't of the mindset that you had to get a guy in the first round. And I know a lot of people were, and now I'm starting to hear those people go kind of step back a little bit and say, okay, now let's go after pass rushers and D-line in the first round instead of the wide receiver.
I am one of those guys that's stepping back a little bit because Nathan and I have both been huge advocates of going wide receiver with either 12 or 19 based on what was available. So I am changing the way I was thinking because I think we've met the demand of talent and production at the wide receiver position with Dwayne Bowe and Brian Hartline. I already spoke about my expectations of Dwayne Bowe. So that being said, I would not be opposed to that pass rusher, offensive line depth, hopefully impactful offensive lineman, or Danny Shelton or Malcolm Brown. If Danny Shelton's available at 12, home run, or Malcolm Brown even at 19, based on what we do at 12. And at that point, it brings that second tier of wide receivers that we've talked in depth about back into play, either moving back in 19 or moving up from where we are in the second round to have the first or second pick of the second round to guarantee we get one of those young wide receivers.
All right, guys, let's put on our GM hat. You are Ray Farmer. Who would be the top player on your board right now going into this draft?
Are we going realistic or unrealistic?
No. If you were making a draft board, who's your number one?
I would go with Leonard Williams, defensive lineman from USC. We just haven't talked about him at all on the show because he's going to be gone.
Yes.
He's going to be gone. But I think in terms of what this team is looking to do on the defensive line, how talented Leonard Williams is as a player, he would be my number one guy on the board. And I think most agree he's not your number one guy in mock drafts, but he seems to be the consensus number one player on the experts' big boards. The best overall player in this draft is Leonard Williams. He's not getting a lot of attention, even though he plays for USC, but he plays on defense, so people are talking about him less. He doesn't play quarterback. So maybe, I don't know, it would take a lot to trade up and get Leonard Williams, and he's the reason why most teams, why a lot of people don't think the Titans will pick Mariota, because they think they need a guy like Leonard Williams on a defensive line. They're going to make it easy, draft him number two.
So I'm going to walk the fine line. I'm going to do both. I'm going to have my unrealistic, and I'm going to have my realistic. And I think, because as we've talked a lot about all offseason, is the quarterback position. I think right now, Jameis Winston has to be your number one player on the board. If at any point, there's a reason he's going to go number one overall, and there's a reason it's a no-brainer that he'll go to the Tampa Bay Bucks. He must be the best quarterback on the board. And I go, secondly, this is the realistic side, is I'm going to go Kevin White, because he's highly productive. He's got a great last season at West Virginia. He was exceptional at the combine, and as you said earlier, Andrew, he was the hottest wide receiver and has solidified himself in most cases, in most mock drafts, as the number one wide receiver on the board. So to me, he would be the greatest athlete, the top player on our board, because it'd be a dream to have an opportunity to draft him.
And real quick, I'll give my realistic one. Mine would be Amari Cooper. I think he's potentially realistic in that he slips number 12.
I do too.
And he'd be a hard one to pass up if he drops you at number 12.
All right, guys, which running back would you rather have right now, LeSean McCoy or DeMarco Murray?
I'm going to go with Shady McCoy, simply because I wonder how much DeMarco Murray benefited from a great offensive line with Dallas. I think McCoy has a little bit more left in the tank than people might think. Even though he's old for a running back, he's still got some good years ahead of him. Murray has also had the fumble problems. I'm going to go with McCoy.
I'm going to go with McCoy as well, and I think that for all those same reasons, I just know that in the open field, as a linebacker, this is exactly how I judged. In the open field, with either the back out of the back, you know, the ball thrown to them out of the backfield on a screen, on a little swing pass, or, you know, some type of sweep action, it's me and one of these two guys. Who would I want to tackle, and who would I not? I think I could get DeMarco Murray down. Shady McCoy might make me lose my jockstrap, so that way, I'm going with LeSean McCoy.
And the Bills have got to be paid back some kind of just overall karma, whatever. I mean, they had Marshawn Lynch before he became beast mode, basically.
Yes.
I mean, before he became the superstar. You know, maybe they're owed one now at that running back position.
We hope.
All right, can't wait to hear Matt's answer on this one. The last one. Who will be the starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes in 2015?
I'm going with Cardale Jones, because you can't do what he's done over those three games that meant so much to the Ohio State program and not end up being that starting quarterback. The thing I do worry about Cardale Jones, though, is that maybe he was that number three guy for a reason, and maybe he doesn't exactly show it on the practice field, which would maybe then land him. But I think he's at least earned the right I know that's a strong word, especially in college sports, because they say you've pretty much earned nothing. That's how they de-recruit you on the field. But I'm going to go with Cardale Jones as taking the first snap of the season for Ohio State.
I thought you made a great point. I'm gonna come out, and I'm just going to say mine, then I'll explain why. I'm going to go JT Barrett. And the reason why is his body of work last year, and as appreciative as every Buckeye fan is of how productive Cardale Jones was on a whim to go win those three football games and what it means to the program, you made a great point in the fact that he was the third quarterback for a reason. He couldn't beat out JT Barrett when Braxton Miller got hurt. That's why they gave the nod to JT Barrett. And I have a feeling that he's going to be the guy. They're going to give him the football, but I have a gut feeling, and it coincides with the last point that I made and the point that you made. He was a third stringer and then a second stringer for a reason. I think they're going to give him the football, and he's going to play himself out of that position. And JT Barrett, based on that body of work that I spoke of, how accurate he is, the cerebral player that he is, the work ethic that he has, maybe not naturally as gifted or that big strong arm like Cardale Jones, but he will his way and win his way. And just he's just going to do what he does, and when Cardale screws up, he will step in just like he did for Braxton.
Here's a question, though. Does the season unfold exactly the way it did with JT Barrett quarterback instead of Cardale Jones?
No.
No. Why is that?
Because I feel like at the end, when it felt like we didn't have what it took to win those big games, when you had doubt in your mind as a Buckeye fan, it was the X factor in those games, which was Cardale Jones, his lumbering, you know, runs for first downs to extend drives, and those big throws that I don't think would have been called if JT Barrett were the quarterback.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Casey, thank you very much.
You know it.
You got it, guys. Well, then again, a couple few things that I want to get to here before we grab, I think our last break before we wrap this show is Call the show 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. This is Fruit for Thought. You know, Greg Hardy has recently signed with the Cowboys. Did they overpay for him? And do you like Jerry Jones acquiring a man that had a problem with domestic abuse only 6 months ago? He is now a Dallas Cowboy. Adrian Peterson in the Minnesota Vikings. What happens next with him? Bernard Price, after his DUI, was he subject to the other wrongdoing by others so that he only had his one knock to get released by the Baltimore Ravens? 216-578-0850. I want to hear from you. Still, give us your grades on the free agency class thus far added to the Browns roster. And what do you do at 12-19 after the last week? Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble, live from Berea in the Dog Bowl. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.